Well, good morning, Journey Church. I never get invited to the dance. It's because these hips don't lie. All right. Well, hey, we want to say, our Christmas dessert, if you're not bought tickets yet, you make sure that you do that today. Again, in person, you get buy one, get one free, so that you can share that with your neighbors and those that you'd love to come and see that. And that's just a taste. Because it'll be full garb and full dress, and you see the stage is starting to take place here, and so we hope that you take advantage of that during next season. Because this season is Thanksgiving, right? America is my adopted country. When we came here, we were told Thanksgiving comes first, and then Christmas. Things have changed in the past 2 decades, but I am still a big believer of Thanksgiving first, and then Christmas. All right, and so if you're listening to Christmas music, we're all some kind of messy. And you can do that again on Good Black Friday, apparently, for some of you. It's a holy day as well for some of you. Speaking of Thanksgiving, have you noticed that we are living in some pretty ungrateful times? There was a young man, he was at the post office, and an older man came and needed some help with a postcard, and so this man graciously said, yeah, I'll do that. And so he began to write out the address for the older man, and then he wrote the message that he wanted, and he even signed the older man's name. He gave the postcard back, and he said, is there anything else I can do to help? I'd love to do that. And the old man looked at the card and looked at the young man and said, could you put P.S.? Please excuse the sloppy handwriting. Have you noticed that in our society, the complaining to gratitude quotient, the ratio, seems to be a little skewed? Did some research this week around this, and researchers are finding that it's actually about 5 complaints to 1 thankfulness or 1 gratitude. This tracks with what Paul would tell his young apprentice in Timothy, where he says, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, and unholy. Now, to be fair, we've lived in the last days since Paul had his last days. Jesus himself saw a 9-to-1 ungratefulness ratio. And I want to look at that this morning because it's one of my favorite passages, especially around this time of year. So I want to invite you into your Bibles this morning, into Luke 17. Luke 17, if you brought a Bible in book form, open up into the New Testament. If you have one of those smartphones that Wayne just had you use, you can use that QR code, go to your photo app, your camera app, and it should take a picture and allow you to get to Bible Gateway and join us today in Luke 17. Let's read together this story of Jesus' experience with ungratefulness. Luke 17, verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. I want to extrapolate this morning one big idea from this passage. And it's this, and you're going to hear this over and over today. I hope it sinks in. Don't just love the gift, hug the giver. Don't just love the gift, hug the giver. And we're going to look at 3 ways that this is done in gratitude today. The first would be that gratitude acknowledges the giver, that gratitude is expressed personally and publicly, and that finally, gratitude deepens our faith. When we look at gratitude, acknowledge the giver, we have to start at where these 10 lepers were in their life circumstance. They had leprosy, which was a various skin diseases, most of them contagious. And so it was a social isolating experience. When someone was found to have leprosy in Jesus' day, they were kind of excommunicated from the normal life. They were set aside. They weren't allowed into the towns and the villages. And if they were, they had to walk around saying, "Unclean, unclean." Think of high school, think of middle school boy after phys ed. Unclean, unclean. That one didn't hit over here so much with the middle school section. Parents of middle schoolers, you know what I'm talking about. But notice what happens with these unclean, socially isolated people. They find community within themselves. They're drawn to each other, even though with each other they are still isolated from life and from the families that they love. And yet they look and they know that Jesus is coming, and they think that Jesus has the answer for their uncleanliness, for their isolation. And so they again, we see that they are at a distance. They are doing what is culturally necessary for them. And then they say, "Lord, have mercy on us." The original language would say something like, "Have pity on us." And Jesus does, but in a very peculiar way. We've seen in other accounts when Jesus is with someone who has leprosy, he will actually touch them, and which is a huge deal because they are the untouched. And yet Jesus touched many lepers, and in his touching made them clean. This time he doesn't do that. He lets them stay at a distance, but he tells them to go show themselves to the priest. Now this is interesting. Because the priest in that day was the one that would look over their bodies and would say, "Yes, you have gone from unclean to clean." Then they would have to do some ritualistic cleansing and cleaning, probably do a sacrifice, and then they would be able to come back into community living. But notice when Jesus tells them to go present themselves to the priest that they're not yet clean. They're still unclean. They're still festered with leprosy, and yet these men have called him master, have asked for his help, and so they obey him. They go. And something amazing happens. Look at verse 14. "And as they went, they were cleansed." I don't know about you, but in a lot of my reading, especially in narratives, I like to transform what I'm reading into a movie in my head. And so I see these 10 hearing Jesus' words, "Go and present yourself to the priest," and they kind of look at each other, and they're like, "Well, but we're still, like, nothing's changed." But they obey. There's obedience there, and so they turn, and as a 10, they begin to walk slowly towards where they know the priest is hanging out, and yeah, as they're going, I think something just happens. Do you see it in your imagination? All of a sudden, the breeze picks up, and they feel the breeze on their skin. It's a little bit different. Where there were rashes, where there were wounds, where there was pus, where there was open sores, now maybe there is beginning to heal. The breeze feels good. It doesn't hurt anymore. Maybe they're looking at their hands, and they see that what was once there and what was hurting is now beginning to heal as they were walking. And they're looking at each other's faces and the exposed skin they see. They're like, "There's something different about the compatriots that I'm with." And all of a sudden they realize that as they are going, they are being cleansed. And I imagine them picking up their pace and beginning to run. Maybe skip. Maybe they're so happy. And then all of a sudden they keep going, but one stops. He puts his foot in the ground and he looks back. And he sees their dust trail, and he sees Jesus off in the distance. And then he looks forward, and his community of 9 is running that way, and he's standing here, and Jesus is back there, and he's got a choice to make. They've made their choice, but he's not just thankful for the gift. He runs back to hug the giver, and only one returns to Jesus. And Luke tells us something when he returns that's very different about this one. We don't know much about the other 9, but we do know that this man, he is a double-level isolated person. He's a double-level outcast. We're told that he is a leper, and he is a Samaritan. Told you about lepers. If you not know, Samaritans were disliked, even hated by the Jews. They were religiously different. They were half-bloods when it came to their ethnicity. And so they weren't supposed to be even around Jews. And this person was a Samaritan and a leper. It's like It's like being a New England Patriot fan and eating meatloaf. Like, that's all a bunch of wrong. It's for you, David. All right.
So even without this leprosy...
Lord, have mercy on David today. Cleanse him. Growing all day. All right. Even without the leprosy, this man wouldn't have belonged in Jesus' midst. Except he did. Except he did, because Jesus calls all of us in our mess to be with him. Because we're all like that Samaritan leper. We all start as outcasts. See, the gospel reveals to us that we don't have the ability to save ourselves. We are with that group of nine, with that group of ten, saying, Lord, have mercy on us. And I wonder, as I read this account, if the reaction of the nine who did not return in gratitude to Jesus, I wonder how often that reflects our tendency to take God's gracious actions for granted. Notice that they wanted him to save him. They were willing to call him master. They were willing to obey when he said go, but the nine weren't willing to come back and worship him. They wanted Jesus to be their savior, but they did not want to worship him as their Lord. If, as a Christ follower, I'm not continually acknowledging that the gifts and the graciousness and the goodness of God that flows into me and then through me is really a work of God, then I'm really walking through life like an accidental atheist. That I'm loving the gifts without acknowledging the giver. What blessings we have in our lives, they're a result of God's grace. We saw that in our stewardship idea with what Wayne had us read together, that everything we have is God's. From the tangible to the grace, it all transforms us when we live in gratitude into gentler and more grateful people towards God the giver and towards the others in our life. See, we don't want to just love the gift. We need to hug the giver. So not only does gratitude acknowledge the giver, but gratitude needs to be expressed personally and publicly. Look back into your Bibles at what we saw in Luke 17 here, and do you notice that this one expert on gratitude, this Samaritan, does four things that everybody can see, right? The author lists these. Do you see them in there? Right? He turns back. Oh, don't get to that one yet, Kurt. He turns back. He praised God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet, and he gave him thanks. All four of those things were both personal and public. We're in Thanksgiving and in this November month doing our faith habit of gratitude. And it encourages us. Many of the habits and the things that we can engage in gratitude are both personal and public in their thankfulness. And so we, for our each gratitude, for each faith habit, we'll have what we call club habit, an opportunity for us to not only do this alone, but to do it in community. And so we reached out to our club habit, which is in the double digits at this point, and we said, hey, what are you thankful for? We asked them to share that with us via text. And here's some of their answers, especially this week. It was interesting, we sent this out on Wednesday after the cyclone came, and so we had a lot of gratitude for our housing, for a home, for a place to feel safe, whether the lights were on or whether they weren't. Many of our club habit, faith habiters were thankful for a home, for a space that felt safe. Many listed the blessings that they have received from God, a job, family, provision, God showing up in a time of need. One individual said that they have tried to cultivate a lifestyle of gratitude, and so just the opportunity to continue to live in thankfulness was encouraged. See, we should stop like our Samaritan leper friend in the midst of life's activities and give thanks. One of the reasons that this is so important is not to express gratitude publicly and personally, because if we don't verbalize it, if we don't put it out here, then it could be perceived as ungratefulness. Here's something we don't know, because Scripture doesn't tell us. But we see that the other nine, every time I read this, I read that as they're ungrateful. I don't know if they necessarily were. When they go to the priest, when they're found to be clean, because Jesus does what he says he's going to do, then he releases them back into community. I've got to believe just in the fact that they went home grateful. But we're not told that. So if you've ever read this story, you kind of think, man, nine are ungrateful, one is grateful. And there's a reason for that. There's actually a principle at play here. It's this, that unexpressed gratitude is always perceived as being ungrateful. Just because you can internally say I'm grateful, if you are not expressing that to the giver of the gift, then it's going to be perceived as ungrateful. These nine, whether they were grateful or not, are now throughout history the ungrateful nine. See, this is true of our gratitude expressed to the Lord, but also to other people. And I want to lean into this morning and model this in a couple ways. The first is to you as a faith family. Last week, as we were finishing up Apathy, I felt impressed on by the Lord to do something I don't normally do. I'm not known for my spontaneity. My wife would actually say I'm spontaneous as long as I plan it. But last week, and I try to be sensitive to when the Spirit speaks and to step into that, and so I did last week and shared, as we were seeing, one of the antidotes for apathy is sacrificial generosity. I just shared that we had a real need, a family need in our faith family. And I just made the offer that if anyone felt like they wanted to lean into sacrificial generosity through a financial means, just to come talk to me, and I want to let you know that by the end of the time I had left here last week, thousands of dollars were promised, and that entire debt was paid. And I want to say amen. And not only that, by the time I left, it meant knowing that I was able to call that family that night and point not only to you as the givers, but also to Jesus, and say, this is like the gospel, that it is given freely, and your debt is now gone. Man, that's the gospel at work. And not only that, I got in a number of times this week, and there was people, there were checks, there was money that was dropped off that wasn't even, they didn't even come and talk to me on Sunday. So I left, and there was this sense of, oh, we got it paid. This is amazing. And you as a church family just kept being generous. People I had no idea that were even going to do that sent some of those finances, and we were able to just pay that off. And here's where I want to express gratitude to you, to not just the ones who gave, and that was the moment that God impressed upon you. And so I do want to thank you, and I did, some of you in person, some of you I still don't know who you are. I just want to say thank you, because as a church family, you showed up, and you were Jesus's hands and feet. You showed the gospel because you've been living out the gospel. And I just want to express my gratitude as your senior pastor to you. Thank you, Journey Church. Thank you, Faith Family. Thank you. Man, this feels good. We should continue this. All right, let's do that. I'm going to invite five guys to come up. If your name is on this list, you are a lucky participant in Get On Up Here. All right, so Steve Howes, David Garys, Randy Arndt, Ted Gentry, and Glenn Lawson. If your name is on here, I'd like you to come up to the front, please. Let's encourage these guys to come up. Well, I was told David was going to be here, and Randy, they're not. They're one of the nine. No, they're not the nine. I'm just telling. All right, step into the light. It's okay. I wanted to go through and thank these guys specifically this morning, publicly and personally. I'm going to start with Steve, because he is on that crew of Steve, David, and Randy. And you probably don't know this, but they have taken upon themselves to be our landscapers, to be our outside on the campus guys. And they are here numerous hours every week. mostly unseen unless you get here early or get here late. They're riding lawnmowers, they're blowing leaves, they're cleaning up things, they cleaned up from the weather that we just got, and they do sacrificial generosity with their time and their effort. And I just love the fact that they do that. And I want to thank you. And thank your fellows for me, too. I don't know sure why they're not here. If you don't know, this is Glenn Lawson. And Glenn is a deacon here. And his specific area of serving on the deacons is the facility chair. And so while Steve and his crew get the outside, Glenn and many of his volunteers get the inside. And Glenn does an amazing job making sure that everything runs, and when it doesn't, it gets fixed, or he calls someone that can. And I've just watched, and it's not even all you do, but in that area, I just wanted to say thank you on behalf of myself and on our congregation. And this tall drink of water over here, if you don't know Ted Gentry, when he was born, he hit like every gift, it seems like to me, he hit like every gifting branch on the way down. Like there's nothing that I have yet found, and I have really tried to put Ted to the test, that he can't do. He can sing, he can dance apparently, he is part of our theater ministry. What Ted can do with his hands and his mind, and the fact that he can fix things, he can create things, he can know how things work, he can take them apart and put them back together. And here's the thing, all the pieces fit. Like that never works in my world. But Ted does that for so many, not just working with Glenn and Steve and the others around our facility, but when called upon, he does it for many in our church family too. And I just wanted to say this morning to Ted, thank you for serving and doing so faithfully. Now, if you're familiar with love languages, one of mine is gifts, and so I had to do this. These are challenge coins, but they're thank you challenge coins. And so this one here is for Glenn, and it says, awarded for your inspirational leadership of our deacon team when it comes to the grounds and to our facility. This one here is awarded for building mastery and skill, because that's pretty much you. And I've got one here for your team, and I'm going to give you all three, and you can decide if your guys get them or not. But this is awarded for your strong team spirit.
Thank you.
So thank you. All right. Can we thank these guys again? Thank you. Gratitude is expressed personally and publicly. I want to encourage you. You have one of those guys in your life. And today, this week, maybe they're coming over for Thanksgiving or you're going to them. Would you express gratitude personally and publicly? Because truly, unexpressed gratitude is perceived as being ungrateful, and I know that's not what we want to be. I know we have so many people in our lives we are grateful for. Let's tell them. Let's just let them know. It's okay if you make it awkward. Just tell them. Don't just love the gift, but hug the giver. And finally, gratitude deepens our faith. When the lone, not a leper, returns to the giver of the gift, Jesus makes a remarkable connection between his faith and gratitude that we shouldn't just quickly jump over. Jesus, in speaking to him, says, "This foreigner has shown up. Where's everybody else?" Now, what's really interesting about this word in Scripture is that word foreigner right there in Luke is the only time that one word is found in all of the New Testament. Just once, just right there. But it's not an unknown world in the ancient, it's not an unknown word in the ancient world. That word foreigner is actually on an inscription going into the temple. There's an outer court and then an inner court, and the gate going in between the two is an inscription that says, "No foreigner," same word, "is allowed past this spot." See, the Jews would go into the inner temple, and that's where Jesus, that's where God's presence was. That's where sacrifices were made. And only Jews were allowed there. Foreigners were not. They weren't allowed to enter the temple proper. Jesus says to this foreigner, he names him that, but he then proclaims over him, "Your faith has made you well." Right there in verse 19. We can infer from this that Jesus just didn't do an external work in this man. He did an internal one as well. That he just didn't heal his skin. He saved his soul. Salvation has come to this man. Your faith has made you well. I think this is an amazing dichotomy. This one word just glares at us because what Jesus is saying is you will never be allowed into the temple, but that's okay. Because you're now in the kingdom. I think it's an amazing picture here. It's so small, but it's so large in its implications for us. See, Jesus links gratitude and faith. He says the faithful are grateful, and the grateful are faithful. And then Jesus goes even further and says that your gratitude has allowed me to give you more gifts. This man comes back, he doesn't just love the gift of being healed, he hugs the giver, and then he starts a relationship with him. Then he starts to live on mission with him. See, consistent gratitude leads to a closer relationship with God. It aligns our hearts with his goodness. If you look at the etymology, the history of this word gratitude, I love doing these things, but it actually comes from the root word of grace. See, a person who has begun to accept the gracious gift that God has given us exudes gratitude. If we look at this word thankful, and if we look at this word thanksgiving, it actually comes from the root word of think. That was a new one to me. I learned that this week. So when I think of thanksgiving and it has a root of think, if we're to think about life accurately, it's to continuously be grateful to God. For the life, for the gift, for the things, for the people, for the salvation and the grace that he's given us. And that kind of tracks with what Paul tells us in Colossians 4:2. It says, devote yourselves, marinate yourselves in prayer, being watchful and thankful. You may have thought, wow, we got to the sermon pretty quick this morning. Two songs, a dance, and there's that guy talking to us. Well, we did it on purpose. As Josh Vincent, a guy playing piano, our worship directors, we were getting ready a number of weeks ago for this moment here. We wanted to put into practice what I just have been telling us this morning, right? That not just love the gift, but hug the giver. And we wanted to give an opportunity for us as a faith family this morning to actively run to Jesus and show our gratitude like our Samaritan friend did. See, we want together as a family to not just love the gifts that God gives, but hug the giver. We want to respond in worship as we express gratitude, both personally and publicly. And so we have a little bit of an exercise we're going to do today. I have some helpers. You know who you are. Now's your time to get up and help. They're going to come along, and they're going to be giving out what I think is one of the greatest inventions in all of the world, in all of history, sticky notes. They're phenomenal. They're great. But if you're a helper, you're going to hand you a stack of them, and you're just going to take one or two and keep handing it down your row so that by the end of our conversation here, everybody should have one. And here's what I'd like to ask us to do. In just a moment, we're going to stand, and we're going to sing, and we're going to respond through worship and through singing for the gracious gifts and in our gratitude to God, our Heavenly Father. And what I want to invite you to do, I think we have three or four songs, but during that time, I want to invite you on your sticky note to write down a couple things that you're grateful for. And let me tell you, the list is limitless, right? James tells us in James chapter 1, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So you can thank God for Jesus. You can thank him for the breath to sing. You can thank him for taste buds. Please don't thank him for meatloaf. It says every good gift. But you can if you want to, if you're grateful for it. There is an abundant list, is there not, of things that we are grateful for. Maybe it's someone. But I'm going to ask you that as you're singing and as you're writing this down, as those thoughts of gratitude come into your mind, that when you write them down, that you, like our Samaritan leper brother, would turn, would come to the feet of Jesus, would praise God with a loud voice and give him thanks today, and to bring that and put it on one of these boards. And just stick it there. So you don't need to put your name on it. That's fine. But just come during our time of worship and singing and place it on one of these boards. So by the end, we will have a collage of the publicly and personally expressed gratitude that we have for the good gifts that our Heavenly Father has given us. Because this morning, as a faith family, we don't just want to love the gifts. We want to hug the giver. And so let's do that together. Would you stand, please, as I pray over our time of worship and gratitude? God, it is true right now of my heart that I am very thankful and grateful to be right here in this moment with these people. Really, the only time in history that this group of people will be together in this way, in this moment. What a wonderful gift that this is. That everybody that you wanted to be here is here. That we are here together. We have heard of your goodness and your graciousness. We have seen your gospel at work. And we know that you are worthy of our praise. I am grateful for so much today. I'm grateful for this church family. I am grateful for my family. I am grateful to hear Archie down here. Lord, there's so much to be grateful for. And above all that, I am thankful for your son, Jesus. For his love for me and for us and for the fellowship of the 10. Where we all stand and say, Lord, have mercy on us. And then we look into Jesus' face. We see his pierced hands. And we know that he does. May we express this morning just a small portion of that gratitude. Through our song, through our gratefulness to others, through naming it and putting it here so that we can share together. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.